Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you today as we go forward and we talk about how we're not to fear men, but instead we're to fear you, God, and to have enduring faith and to move forward in that faith so that you are glorified. But more than that, or just as importantly as that, our Lord and Savior is honored and he is glorified. And in all this, we are glorified with him as we render what is yours to you. And Father, may we not only render, but surrender, because we know that's what it takes. And so, Father, as we look at this message today, and we look at that doctrine of perseverance, may we always remember that it's the whole counsel of God, that as we persevere in faith, we have that eternal security, because we rest in Christ, and that's what it's all about, trusting and having faith in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, because that's what believing means. And so we lift this up to you. May you prepare our hearts to hear this message. May we apply it to our lives, Father, and may you be glorified in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. So our message today, as I said in my prayers, therefore, do not fear men, but instead fear God. Today we're going to continue the missionary doctrine, the ordination sermon of his apostles. And then what we're really going to focus on is the fear of the Lord. And we're to have this fear throughout every age. Whatever the present age is, that's what we're to do. Not fear men, but fear God. And we'll see that this has two distinct meanings. And we'll also look at how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And just what all that means to us. And we know that the work of salvation was completed on the cross with Jesus Christ. But we, as his ambassadors now, are to go forward and to share his testimony. The testimony by being his witnesses of salvation, as our lives have been changed. And that's what we're to do. Being his messengers. Messengers of the gospel truth and the whole truth. Not just one doctrine or another, but the whole truth that Jesus Christ gives us, because he says he reveals all things to us. And we're to hang on to all things, not just the parts we like, but to trust in him for all of his doctrine to be fulfilled in our lives as we rest in him, walk in him, and stand in the full armor of God. We're also going to see that persevering in Jesus Christ draws us closer to him and makes us Christ-like. And you know what? He says it's a blessing to be persecuted for his sake. And you know what else? We're in good company. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 5:10-12. As we look at this beatitude, the be like Christ attitude that he gave us specifically talking about persecution and what a blessing it is. Matthew 5:10-12 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So are we to shrink back from persecution? Are we to fear men who can bring harm to us and revile us and to hurt us physically? No, what does Jesus say? We are to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because great is our reward in heaven. We should expect this. They did it to the prophets. Just as we looked at Wednesday, the vine dresser, the wicked vine dresser, and how God had given them the vineyard of Israel. And the wicked vine dressers took it over instead of producing the fruit God wanted. They tried to steal it from God. And what they do? They injured the flock. They told them lies. And when God sent his prophets, what did they do to the prophets? They beat them. They stoned them. They killed them. What did Jesus say God did next? He says, "I'll send my son. Surely they will respect my son." But the vine dresser says, "Oh no, we can get this inheritance. We'll kill the son and the inheritance will become ours." And Jesus says, "Oh, you wicked vine dressers, what will the owner or the landlord do now? Destroy those who kill his son, who killed his prophets." And that's what will happen to those who come against us. That's what will happen to all who do not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior and do not persevere in Christ and endure in faith. They will be destroyed. And we're going to talk about that later. But what's our focus on? How blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they shall inherit the kingdom. And not only do we inherit the kingdom, we've literally laid treasure up in heaven. Because great is our reward. That's our beatitude in this area. Be like Christ, imitating Him for God's glory. May we not shrink back, but may we look forward and rejoice and be exceedingly glad. All right, so a little review and tie-in from last week. As we look at Matthew 10:16-25, fear only God, and by the power of grace, confess me before men. Last week we saw, for my name's sake, Jesus said, you will be persecuted. What did he emphasize? He said, but persevere to the end, as the Holy Spirit will enable you to do, as this is part of salvation's plan. So that's what we looked at in 10:16-25. And Jesus said, along those lines, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Therefore, use your godly wisdom daily. But beware of men who will turn you over to their religious leaders, who will persecute you. But I'll use this persecution for my sake, by using your testimony to share the gospel with governors and kings and with the Gentile nations, all those non-believers. And don't worry about what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will give you God's words to speak. And you know what? You'll be hated by all. You'll be hated by all because I was hated, he says, essentially. You'll be hated for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. As we persevere in Christ, who is salvation, and it is found in no one else. Did he say, persevere until you get tired and then quit? No, he says, persevere to the end, unto salvation. That's what all the epistles talk about. How we run the race with endurance. How we go until the end. How we remain in faith. We endure in faith. We focus on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We do this unto salvation. Unto salvation means that work that he started in us, conforming us to the image of Christ, he is faithful to complete it. We continue moving forward in that faith. Because he is faithful, we just need to surrender to all that he's doing in, to, and through us. Amen? And part of that conforming work is, we may think, unfortunately, persecution. But Jesus says, what a blessing that is. Because you know what? When you're being persecuted and reviled against, who are you drawing closer to? Jesus Christ. And we're being conformed through all this. We're also to always remember that a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Therefore, it's enough for us to become Christ-like through all of this, and to be changed and conformed through persecution. And you know, he never gives us more than the measure of faith that he has put in our hearts. He never gives us more than that measure of faith can hold. He never gives us more than we can stand in him. He is faithful. But you know what? We must use that measure of faith to its maximum. Because that's how that faith grows. That's how it's stretched. We got to first get to the end of ourselves, so then we can grow in faith. And then that faith, as we use it to the maximum, to the measure he's given us, it too will grow as we trust in the Lord. We exercise that faith by the measure that he's given us. To some, a large measure of faith. To others, smaller measure. So we will face different trials and tribulations accordingly. Because he's not about to set us up for failure or himself up to be defamed. But yes, we must move forward in that faith he's given us. And you know, all things are possible in Christ. But without him, nothing is possible. That's what it says in John 15:5. And he will give us the supernatural gift of faith as the time comes that it is required. So we have two types of faith. We have that faith that comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and us growing in Christ and maturing in his word. And we grow in that faith. We have childlike faith that's matured as we experience Christ. And we learn more about him. And therefore we mature in him. And we have more faith because we see how faithful he is. But there's also that supernatural gift of faith that comes upon us as a gift, as the time would require, for us to face trials and tribulations we could not possibly do on our own. It would have to be done through that supernatural gift of faith. And that's what he will give to all who face persecution and, if you will, being faithful unto the end. Amen? Because that's what he does. He is faithful. That's why you'll see faith listed as a spiritual gift. But, you know, for us, we also must endure to the end. This is Christ's doctrine of perseverance. And as we said last week, it does not conflict with his doctrine of eternal security, as both are totally dependent upon one thing, Jesus Christ. We have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't trust in a doctrine. We don't trust in written words or interpretations of man. We trust in Jesus Christ, who is the doctrine giver. And in that, he gives us, through the Holy Spirit, the understanding of what those doctrines mean. But we rest in him. And we rest in the whole counsel of God. Yes, we have eternal security. Yes, we also must persevere in faith, enduring faith. But where are they tied together? In Jesus Christ, by us remaining in him, trusting in him. And he will see us through it. Because guess what? Who else is going through those persecutions with us? He is. And he will never let us down. He will never leave us or forsake us. So, today, do not fear men who can only kill your mortal body, but rather fear God, because he is able to utterly destroy both body and soul in hell. Let's read Matthew 10:26-33. And it says, "Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than any sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Powerful words spoken here. Let's see what they mean as far as an overview is concerned. Jesus is saying, therefore, don't fear them. Don't fear men. As I've kept nothing hidden from you, or nothing covered that won't be revealed to you. In fact, if you suffer with me, we shall be glorified together. That's what he tells us, and we're going to look at that into some level of detail here in just a few minutes. If you suffer with Christ, we're going to be glorified together with him. That's what he promises. There's no secrets with God. So whatever he tells us, and whenever he tells us, we're to preach it from the rooftops, to be made known to all for his glory. We don't keep any knowledge secret so that only we have it. We give it to whoever Christ brings in our path to share it with as the way, the truth, and the life. Unlike the Gnostics. Oh, you come join us and we got this secret knowledge. And no, that's totally wrong. That's a lie. There's no other books. There's no secret knowledge. It's all about Jesus Christ, in whom is the full treasure of knowledge and wisdom. And he is going to reveal it when we're ready, right? But remember, we're new wine in new wineskins. He's not going to give us more than we can handle, or that'll rip out that wineskin. So he's going to give us the measure that our faith can handle. And obviously, you guys can handle this message today because you're sitting here. Right? We'll have to pray for those others, though. But praise God, he is faithful. And he's going to give us all that we are to have as far as his knowledge is concerned. And he keeps nothing hidden. Now, as far as when we're ready to receive it, that depends on each individual. Now, how serious is Jesus about this? He says, do not fear men who can only kill the body and not your soul. Instead, fear God who can utterly destroy you. That means soul and body. And where are you utterly destroyed? In Gehenna, in hell, the lake of fire, eternal fire. But God loves you so much, he cares for you. He loves you so much, he pays so much attention to you, he numbers the hairs on your head. You are very valuable to God. And because you fear Him, by the power of grace, you will endure. So it is by the power of grace that we're able to serve God acceptably, in reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12:25-29. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. Can we turn away from God? Absolutely. We're not robots. We're not mindless. We have our own free will, and He doesn't override that. But we also have the love of Christ and His spirit of obedience that's going to cause us, sometimes with some delay, some hesitation, some intrepidation, the Holy Spirit is going to convict us to listen to what He has to say, just like this message today. So we won't turn away from Him. But it says, if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven, remember what He's talking about. He was talking about on Mount Sinai when the law was given and His voice was shaking the earth. They turned away from God. What'd they do? They built an idol. Well, Moses was up there getting the law. They turned away from God. May we not turn away from God when we have more than the law. We have Jesus Christ living in us. We have the truth, the way, the truth, and the life all living in us. The way and the truth, and that gives us the life of walking in the Spirit in Jesus Christ, whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made. Now I interpret this to be things of the world. Those things that are made. What are made? He's talking about the things that man makes, including man makes their own doctrines. Man makes their own interpretations of doctrines. Man will focus on one doctrine, but not another. We need to shake some of those things off of us. God will shake those things off of us. In fact, our faith sometimes has to be shaken in order for us to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us, God, understand them. That should be our prayer every day. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Understand your whole counsel, not just pieces of it, but how it all applies to my life as I remain in Christ and do your will in your power by your might. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. The things that cannot be shaken may remain. What are the things that can't be shaken? The things of the Spirit, the truth, what the Spirit gives us, the understanding, the knowledge, and the wisdom that is given to us. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I've talked about how grace is not just a covering for sin, it's the power by which we're enabled or able to live a life that's acceptable to God. It's the power of the Spirit, the indwelling power and the gifts of the Spirit that come upon us. That's the power of grace. So, by grace, we have grace, that unmerited favor, that undeserved privilege that we get to have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ and all the gifts He gives us and all the conforming work He's doing in us by which we may serve God acceptably. How do we serve God acceptably? With reverence and in godly fear. We're going to find out what all those mean here in just a few minutes. But what else does it say? For our God is a consuming fire. Think of this as a picture here. What is God doing? He's literally separating the wheat from the chaff. What do they do when they go to the threshing floor? They take the wheat and they throw it up in the air, right? They take it, they shake it, and they shake the chaff so that it's separated from the wheat. What happens to the chaff? It's thrown into the fire. The wheat is taken and stored into His barn. Stored in His barn. That's what He's doing here. That's what He's saying. He says, I'm going to shake you. I'm going to shake the things that don't belong to me. I'm going to take those out of your life. And I, your God, am a consuming fire. Those are going to be burned. And what's going to remain is all that I have for you. And that's how you're going to live your life acceptable. Because you're going to revere God. And you're going to have godly fear. So that you will obey Him. You will listen to His voice. It's for God's glory. It's for our transformation. to be like Christ. Amen? What an awesome God we have. That's how much He loves us. Look how much time and effort He spends on each and every one of us. But more so, look, He gave His Son to die on the cross for the opportunity to do this. We surrender to Him and allow Him to do these things. And He is glorified. But that's not the end of the story. That's like the beginning of the story. What does this also tell us in our lives? We face two types of fire. One of two fires. We have the refining fire of God that burns the chaff that is shaken from the wheat. As by the power of grace through faith, we're empowered to serve God acceptably. And we do that with reverence and godly fear. As God is an all-consuming fire. In other words, He becomes our all in all. Remember hearing that before? God, there's songs about how God is our all in all. This is what it means. He's an all-consuming fire. We give everything to Him. And He refines us like gold and silver, or burns off that chaff so that all that remains is the wheat. Well, there's another kind of fire that Jesus warns us about. And my understanding is that Jesus talks more about hell than He does heaven in the New Testament. That's what I've heard time and time again. So Jesus is serious about people going to hell. And who is He teaching? His disciples, not non-believers, because non-believers don't even understand the Word. They're not born again in the Spirit. They can't understand what He's saying. So when Jesus is talking about people going to hell, it's those who are following Him, whether at a distance or to encourage them to follow by enduring in faith. That's who He's talking to. Because people carnally cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The Word says that. The carnal mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Only those who have been born again can understand it. So many people have been on milk for so long, their teeth have fallen out and they can't eat the meat anymore. Paul talks about that. He said, hey, you should be chewing meat. Well, here's meat today. What's the other fire that people face? Yes, those who call themselves Christians, followers, the eternal fire of hell. If we do not endure in faith and we turn away from God because we have not remained in Christ Jesus, which is the only place salvation is found. Oh man, how do I do that? Rest in Him. You don't have to do anything. Rest in Him. It's not something you do. It's something you are. It's your life. But don't be tempted by the world to turn from Him. Don't be tempted by the world not to listen to Him. Don't be shaken by the world. Be shaken by God to keep us where we belong. You ever been shaken by God? I have. Sometimes it's when my back goes out, it's like, okay, Lord, what do You have for me now? And it's amazing what He teaches me. Flat on my back. Or I'm going through a trial or tribulation. Or whatever it may be. I like it when He nudges us with the staff. Sometimes He has to use that rod, though, to get our attention. But He is a loving God. Why does He do it? Because He loves us so much. He's numbered the hairs on our head. That's how much He loves us. May we not trust in half-truths. May they be shaken from our lives as Jesus reveals the whole truth. And nothing but the truth, as I said. So help us, God, understand it. Help us separate the wheat from the chaff in this area. Help us understand Your whole counsel. May we not just be focused on one thing and not the other thing, God's sovereignty, without also being focused on our responsibility, the response that we are to have in Your love by the ability You give us. May that be our constant prayer, as our faith is in Jesus Christ and not in man's doctrines. Therefore, may we not refuse to hear Him and turn away from God because we fear men more. That's when we start turning away. It's easier just, oh no, I'm not one of them. Oh, you're a Jesus freak. Oh no, I'm not one of them. Nor, as I said before, may we put our faith in doctrine instead of the faith giver, Jesus Christ. Because remember, that was the Jews' mistake. They put their faith in the law and doing it their way instead of the law giver, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who had come and told him, no, it's not about the law. The law was your tutor. Now I'm here to give you salvation. Trust in Me. No, they wanted to hang on to that law because they could do it themselves. People want to hang on to pieces of doctrine because they can do that themselves and then trust in some kind of false security instead of relying on Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God to live their life fully for Him. We like to have things carved out where, oh, well, I can do this, but I won't do that. Well, that's not what Jesus says. I'm going to shake you up. I'm going to get those things out of you. Let's take a look at this as we do a verse by verse. Do not fear, I have hidden nothing from you. Let's look at verse 10:26. Therefore, do not fear them, those who want to persecute you for my name's sake. There's nothing that is covered that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known to you at the appropriate time. That's why it takes faith. If God hasn't revealed something to you, pray for understanding and wait on the Lord and wait for the Lord. He will reveal it to you at the appropriate time. But you know where mostly it's revealed? In the Word and seeking Him and seeking His understanding, seeking His knowledge, so that we can have the wisdom that is required to endure. As He says, He sent us out as sheep among wolves. We're to have that godly wisdom, and that takes being in His Word and being trained by the Holy Spirit. But He also goes on to say or infer, but you must know that whatever you face is for God's glory. I suffered, and so will you. So focus instead on the joy that is set before you, glorifying God and being glorified with me. And you know, that's what Jesus has said over the last 3 weeks. This truth of being glorified with Christ was later revealed to Paul. But he says, I have suffered. You will suffer too. They hated me. They will hate you. John talks about that. John 16. They hated me, they will hate you. They persecuted me, they will persecute you. I mean, it's just a fact. If you represent Jesus Christ, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated by the world. And if you're not, you need to wonder how close you are to Christ. Because if you look just like the world, there's a problem. I'm going to talk to this side for a while. There's a lot of blank stares over here too. Amen. All right. So, then he goes on to tell us, not only is this the truth, but there's further truth to all this, and I've revealed it to Paul. What did I reveal to Paul? I revealed via the Holy Spirit, and it's now given to you in Romans 8:14-17. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're children, children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba meaning Papa, Papa, dear Dad. So we haven't been given a spirit so that we fear. We've been given that Holy Spirit where we're able to go forward boldly in the name of Christ as He would enable and empower us to do. And He goes on to say in verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, and you look up that word in Greek, guess what it means? If, it's a qualifier. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We are joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Jesus says, greater is your reward in heaven. What greater reward than to be glorified with Christ? Hallelujah. That's what He revealed to Paul. That's what the Spirit has given us now to hang on to. In essence, our sharing with Christ in His present sufferings is a condition for further or future glorification. You know, we talk about those glorified bodies we're going to get. Well, it's because we suffered through all this stuff here on earth. Some of us a lot, some of us little, depending on the measure of faith that He's given us. Some of us are overwhelmed by our car breaking down. I mean, that's as much as our measure of faith can handle. But some go on to give their life for Christ as they stand against the evilness in this world, whether it be Muslim, whether it be Buddhist, whether it be Hindu, whether it be non-believers, to literally stand there and give their life in the name of Christ with that measure of faith that He's given them. Praise God, because you know what? Both people are glorified because they stood in the measure of faith that they had. If they used that full measure of faith God gave them, He says, you've been faithful in a few things. I will make you responsible for many things. We can't have that faith if it wasn't intended for us to have. That's why He says, don't go out and make yourself a martyr if I haven't called you to. Make yourself the mom, the dad, the worker, the pastor, the sister, the brother, because that's what I've given for you. Should He call us then to give our lives, though, then we can trust that He's given us that measure of faith to go with it and that He will be glorified by that. And blessed are those, because our reward in heaven will be great. That's not me saying it. That's what Jesus said. Not look at the fear, but look at the glory. And it talks about this coming glory will not only be revealed to us, but it will actually be revealed in us as we are to render to God what is His. That's what we talked about on Wednesday night. Render to God what is His. And what does render mean? In this application, render means in the Greek application to put away by giving away. Put away by giving away. Render to God. What do? You put away things up in heaven by giving it to God. So therefore, we can take things that have no eternal value, like money, give it to God, and we lay up treasures in heaven. We can take things like suffering that in the flesh would have no eternal value. But now we suffer for Christ in His name's sake. We put it away in heaven by giving that suffering over to God. By not fearing what man's going to do to us, but by surrendering and going through that suffering. That's laying treasure up in heaven. That's what Jesus talked about all throughout Matthew and continues to talk about. And we'll talk about it more. And then we will receive the glory. That glory given to God by our suffering for His name's sake is put away in heaven, only then to be revealed in us when we're glorified with Christ. So that glory comes back to us. The glory that we've given to God literally returns to us as it is revealed in us as we're glorified together with Christ, as we suffered with Him, as we are heirs. We then receive the privilege of that kingdom of heaven and all that He has in store for us, to whatever degree He has for us in His plan of salvation. Does one who have a large measure of faith, are they more saved than somebody who has a small measure of faith? Absolutely not. Is the reward different? Yeah. Because that's the glory that is going to be given through us for God. Some are going to be responsible for a few things in heaven. Some are going to be responsible for many things. Some are going to have many crowns. Some are going to have maybe no crowns. They'll be as if escaping through the flames. That's why I say there is merit under grace. Not merit to get grace. Merit under grace, but we got to define that as surrender. What is merit? What qualifies us for those rewards? Surrendering to God. Rendering to God what is His. That's what merit under grace is. Not anything in and of us, but what He chooses to do in, to, and through us. Can we block that? Absolutely. I'm not going there. Yes, there is glory to be given to God that is returned to us. And be exceedingly glad, for great is our reward. Blessed are we who are persecuted for Christ's name's sake. And it may be just being called names. Rejoice, they call you names. Mr. Christian, you Jesus freak. Hey, rejoice. Because guess what? You're being persecuted, reviled for His name's sake. They tell lies about you. They do all these different things. That's persecution. That's what Jesus says. Blessed are those who are reviled. False things are told about them. Don't worry about your reputation. As far as they're concerned, worry about your reputation that you have in your heart of worship with God. That's the reputation you worry about. That you don't hurt God by defaming Him. That's the reputation we worry about. God's reputation and how we're living who represent Him. Amen? That's the reputation we worry about. God's reputation and how we represent that as Christians. So, render to God what is His, and it will glorify Him, and we'll share in that glory. There's no short-term suffering, no matter how severe, that can compare with that. Therefore, Jesus is saying, go forward without fear, in the measure of faith given you for God's glory. And Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved, Matthew 10:22. Do you think Jesus meant what He said? Do you think Jesus was lying when He says, those who endure to the end will be saved? I don't know how you spiritualize that away. I believe Jesus said exactly what He meant. Endure to the end and you will be saved. And we'll leave it at that. And so now what does He go on to tell us? Don't fear men. Endure in the faith that I'm going to give you. And not only are you going to glorify God, you're going to lay up treasures in heaven. And blessed are you who go through this. So He gives us encouragement to endure to the end. Not only does He give us that encouragement, but He gives us the enabling of the Spirit that indwells in us and the empowerment of the Spirit that comes upon us so that we can do just that. Because He isn't going to set up His witnesses for failure. Now, we may set ourselves up for failure. That's why we always want to make sure that we're following the leading of the Lord and not getting ahead of Him and putting ourselves in a place that we're not ready to face. Now, I believe Jesus is very serious about this, and I believe that everything that Jesus said is the truth and is to be taken at that face value. Because when you look at the Greek words that are used here, it means exactly what it says in English. There's no confusion here. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Why did he have to say that? Because there's some who won't endure to the end. Does that mean they won't be saved? What do you think? What did Jesus say? I'll let you deduce that. It's not for me to say who's saved and who isn't. We're to focus on what he tells us to do, not worry about what others are doing. Amen? Do you have an amen on that one? Here, let me ask this side. So, there's nothing hidden as we're told how to do this by faith and the love of God that is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit and who we are in Christ will endure as he is our hope. So, those who are in Christ will endure. Because he is our hope. He's not going to let us down. But we have to remain in him. We have to trust in his strength. We can't do it on our own. You could never stand against man on our own. I mean, we have to stand in Christ and stand in his spirit. So, problems and persecutions are designed to draw us closer to Christ. As we must depend on him to get through these things. That's what Romans 5:1 through 5:5 tells us. But I'm going to give it to you in the New Living Translation because it's much easier to understand. And I love this translation because you know what? Makes it easy because they take a lot of the Greek words and interpret them where they have greater illumination. And it says Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made right, that's justified, New King James uses justified, if we have been justified in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. It is finished on the cross. That's why we're justified. That's why we were made right with God, because he finished it on the cross and we accepted it as a gift from God, and therefore we have grace. Amen? How do we have grace? Through faith. And that not from ourselves, it's a gift from God. Otherwise we would be earning it, but we don't earn his grace. And because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. New King James Version calls undeserved privilege as grace. And that's what grace is, undeserved privilege. Right? So, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, grace, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We just talked about what that means. Maybe you didn't understand what it meant to share God's glory before. Now we do. We're going to share His glory if we suffer with Him. And it's going to go on and talk about, hey, look, you're going to suffer. But this is going to build you up in Christ. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. New King James says tribulations. When we have tribulations, we can rejoice. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When He fills our hearts with His love, we will endure in faith because that produces obedience as we remain surrendered to Him as we are in Christ. What is this telling us? It's saying that trials and tribulations are designed supernaturally to produce perseverance or endurance. Character of Christ Himself, because that strengthens us in the hope that we have in salvation. That's what it does for us. Those who want to live a comfortable life are not allowing themselves to be conformed through this process. And people will avoid trials and tribulations, even though God may lead them to do it, because they want to be comfortable instead of being conformed. Is that a sin? I say, yes, it is a sin. It's the sin of omission. If we are not following the leading of God, and we omit doing what He tells us to do. Why does He do this? Because He loves us, and He's given us that Spirit. Thank you. Because He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us through all this stuff, because He loves us. So, problems and persecutions, actually, are designed to build us up in Christ, and we're transformed by the hope we have in Jesus, and that hope never disappoints. And the truth of the matter is, we can look forward then to reveling in God's glory forevermore, because those who suffer with Christ share in His glory as they render to God what is His. And what is God's? Our very lives. He says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that our bodies may become a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service to God. Remember what it said back at the beginning? It says that we're able to serve God. May we have grace which enables us to serve God acceptably. Well, what's that service He's looking for? The reasonable service of our bodies being a living sacrifice given over to Him. If that body is meant to be beaten and broken, praise God and blessed are we. If it is meant to be used as an example of health, wealth, and prosperity to glorify Him, to show how faithful He is in that area and to support missionaries and those kind of things, praise God for that. Whatever He's given us, praise God. Because that's why there were seven letters to seven churches, because each had a different thing going on. The church of Smyrna was the persecuted church. You think they liked being persecuted? No. But that was what they were called to do. Then you had the church of Philadelphia, which was the church that was a brotherly love. Think they liked that? Absolutely. But that was what God had given them to do. So we go forward in what God has given us to do. He says in verse 27, whatever I tell you privately at night or have given you publicly, do not hide it. Preach it in the light of day. Shout it from the rooftops, as there is no special or secret knowledge with regards to Him, as He is the way, the truth, and the life, and all of this is to be shared as He would lead us to share it. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, Christ's advocate, our helper, comforter, teacher, will bring understanding. Understanding will bring knowledge, and knowledge will bring wisdom. How do I know that? Because Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the fear of the Lord, submitting to God our Father through Jesus Christ, is the beginning of wisdom. We will have knowledge because we understand what His Word says, what His leading is for us, and what He desires from our life. We have understanding that gives us knowledge. Knowledge applied to our lives is godly wisdom. That's how this process works. So, that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Without surrendering or submitting to Christ, you have no wisdom. You're just of the world. So, pressing on, verse 28. Do not fear them. Fear God instead. Do not fear those who can kill your body, but not your soul. But rather, fear God. Why? Because He is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And the word, if you look it up in Greek, is Gehenna. Now, there's two hells. There's Hades, or Sheol, which is the temporary hell which is in the center of the earth right now, which will be emptied at the great white throne judgment. Right? If you look at Revelation 21, and it talks about the great white throne judgment, it talks about how Hades and the grave was empty. That's the hell, the temporary hell we have right now in the center of the earth. It will be emptied. And then after the great white throne judgment, they go to the lake of fire, which is called Gehenna. So two hells, a temporary and eternal. What Jesus is talking about here, He's talking about eternal hell. The eternal fires of hell is what He's talking about here. He is able to destroy both soul and body in the eternal fires of hell, the lake of fire. And in Greek, the word destroy means to utterly destroy. Metaphorically, to give over to eternal misery. And that's what will happen, damnation and eternal misery. But God is love, and He therefore hides no truth from us. This should get our attention with regards to enduring in faith to the end. Because who is He teaching? Again, is He teaching the masses and the multitudes? No, He's teaching His disciples. He's sending out His disciples. He's talking to the 12 who are going to go out. He's telling them to endure in faith. They already are following Him. He's not talking to the multitudes trying to convince them to come to Him. He's talking to His disciples. Guess who else He's talking to? Us, who are following Him. Endure in Christ. Endure in Him. To the end, as we must realize the consequences. And he knows some are saved by compassion and some by fear of hell fire. How do I know that? God knows what we need and what we respond to. We look at Jude 20 through 23. It says some are saved with compassion and some by the fear of hellfire. Jude knew this. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves, something we have to do, it's a responsibility, keep yourselves in the love of God. If we didn't have to keep ourselves in Christ, why would they have to say that? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. Keep yourself in Christ unto eternal life. And on some, have compassion. Show love. Talk to them about the love of Christ and the joy that He brings. Making a distinction, though. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Jesus was the example for what Jude is talking about here. With some, He saves with love. Come unto me. Come unto me, and you'll have glory. You'll have treasures in heaven. You'll have all these things. Those of you that don't want that, then be afraid. Very, very afraid, because if you don't endure in faith, guess what's waiting for you? Hellfire. Forever. Can you walk away from me? Absolutely. Because you have free will. Well, I thought I had eternal security. You do in Christ. But it takes enduring faith. Where do I get that faith? In Christ. From Christ. Through Christ. And the gift of faith. Being conformed through all these things we're going through builds us up in faith. It's not osmosis. It's work. What's hard is surrendering and allowing Him to do it. That's what we strive in the Spirit means. Striving in the Spirit means against the things of the flesh. Remaining in Christ. Resting in Him. Not what the world may tell us. Not what men may tell us as far as, oh, be comfortable. Live however you want to. That's never what Christ said. He never said that once. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who endure in faith. Not once did He say, relax. It'll happen. But that's what we want to believe. So, He knows what we need. Some are saved by the love of Christ. Some are saved by hellfire. Can you scare somebody out of hell? Apparently. By having them turn from their wicked ways and turn into Christ. But we have to have distinction and discernment in this area. So likewise, there are two meanings to the Hebrew and Greek words used for fear. We're to be in awe of Him. That's one meaning as far as the fear of the Lord. It means to revere and to worship Him as our Creator, our Lord God. Knowing He loved us so much, He sent His only Son to die for us. The other meaning is be afraid. Be very afraid, as the Creator of all things has the power to destroy those who don't respect Him, that don't revere Him, that do not worship Him, by believing and having enduring faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. How do we respect God? By believing. Believing, it's a verb, it's an ongoing process in Jesus Christ. You make that confession and your life is changed as you're given that spirit of obedience and the love of Christ, and it's a continuing process unto salvation. Continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who wills and acts in you according to His good purposes. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 2. I think it's 2:14 through 15. So, the two meanings. Fear the Lord. Awe, have awe of Him. Revere and worship Him. Or be very afraid, because you know what? He has the power to utterly destroy you. And the fear of man causes us to forget our Lord and Maker. That's what Isaiah 51:12 through 13 says. The fear of man, why doesn't He want us to fear man? Because His Word says, and He tells us, because it causes us to forget our Lord and Maker. If you forget about your Lord and Maker, where's your enduring faith? It will cause us to forget. We fear man more than we fear God. That's why He's telling us. Don't worry about them who can just kill your body. Worry about Me who can send you to hell. And why would I do that? Don't you think I love you? Yes, I love you. I've loved you first. So much so I gave My Son to die on that cross for you. And He lives now. Now you live in Him. Walk in His ways. Love Him and love Me in the life, the way, the truth, and the life. Does that mean we're not going to make mistakes and all that? Sure we will. That's not what this is about. It's talking about turning away from God and denouncing Him among men. And we can do that by the way we live too as well. When we're His, we're not to fear what man can do to us. When we're His, we don't have, remember He says, we don't have that spirit of fear. We're not under the bondage of fear anymore. We have that spirit of sonship. Abba, Father. But revere God and His faithfulness. Hebrews 13, 5-6. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Whenever you're starting to have doubts about man and fearing man, put this in your memory bank. The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. What can man do to me? Whatever man does to me is for the glory of God. If it's being done for His name's sake, He said, blessed are we, because we're storing up treasures in heaven. Now that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. I shall not fear man. What can they do to me? I fear my Lord. He's my helper. He will never leave me or forsake me. That's the bottom line. So would He ever set you into a situation of persecution that He hasn't already prepared you for and given you all that you need to get through? Absolutely not, because that would be forsaking you. So if you find yourself in that position, trust in Him to see you through it. But it has to be done in Him. Your eyes focus totally on Christ. Therefore, we're not those who draw back to perdition. He says, two sparrows are sold for a copper coin, and yet not one of them falls to the ground, in verses 29 through 30, unless it is His Father's will. And He has the very hairs on our head numbered. That's how much God cares about us. He knows every detail and aspect of our lives. Now, some of us may say, gulp. Knows every detail and aspect of our lives. That should make us think. He goes on to say, therefore, do not fear. You are much more valuable than many sparrows, as it says in verse 31. If God cares for the sparrows and numbers the hairs on our head, then He will also pay careful attention to our needs, to whatever we're going through. And yes, the persecuted easily feel that God has forgotten them. But He has not. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And the God who knows us so well will take care of us for His glory and for His name's sake as we persevere in Christ. And that's who we persevere in. So the clear emphasis in this short section is do not fear, as this is used 3 times in 6 verses. I'd say it's pretty important. Do not fear. And we're told then to banish this cowardly base passion away from us because it's harmful. It'll turn us away from God. As he that fears God need fear none else. And nothing overcomes the fear of man like the fear of God. That's what Spurgeon says. So, confess Jesus as Christ before men and do not waver. Verses 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess them before my Father in heaven. And you know, he presents us faultless, preserved in him. Jude 1:24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's the one who keeps us from stumbling. He's the one who's going to keep us from faltering in those times of persecution. He's going to be the one who will keep us in that full armor of God and standing firm against the wiles of the devil. As it says, but whoever denies Jesus before men, them he will also deny before his Father in heaven. So we ask ourselves, would Jesus deny anyone who loved him? Of course not. But what does loving him mean? It means you love him more than yourself, more than your family, more than the world. Because in Matthew 10:38-39, which we're going to get next week, he says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You can love Christ, but if you love yourself more, that's not following him. That's putting yourself as the Lord of your life. And this is how Jesus closes his missionary doctrine. As I said, which we'll cover next week. You know, and in faith, I can't teach this any other way. I can't water this down. But many, many commentators do. And they spiritualize it away by using Peter's denial as an example. And I just want to share it with you. They talk about how he was restored after denying Jesus 3 times before men. What a picture of grace this is. And I agree with that. But we got to remember what was Peter's state when he was denying Christ. This was before he had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and before he had the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that came upon him at Pentecost. We already have those things. Notice also that once he received the power of grace, he never wavered or denied Jesus Christ again. Because Jesus says, you go and become my witnesses, right? In Acts 1:8, and wait for the power. The power will come upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the world. That's what we're to do. We're to have that faith and wait on Christ and to have that empowerment that He desires us to have. And as I said, I believe that this shows God's grace, both before and after the Helper was given to men. So don't use Peter as an example of how we could deny Christ and not be held accountable. He was restored, but that was before he ever received the indwelling or the empowerment to be able to stand on his own. He was being boastful and prideful in the flesh. But once he received that Spirit, he rejoiced in being persecuted for Christ. So, the just shall live by faith, enduring faith, believing that our victory is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're not those who draw back to perdition, as our victory is in our faith. That's what 1 John 5:4 says. We are those who believe to the saving of our souls. Hebrews 10:36 through 39. I believe Paul wrote this, but whoever the author of Hebrews, I think, sums it all up nicely as far as enduring faith is concerned. For you have need of endurance. Isn't that what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks? Enduring faith, endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's what Jesus is saying. You deny me before men, I'm not going to have any pleasure in you. Because your love was not for me. It was more for yourself. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I think that sums it up nicely. As far as, don't fear men, fear God. Endure to the end, unto salvation. That's what Jesus preached. Everything else needs to be weighted against the whole counsel of God. Amen. May we trust in Christ and not in men's doctrine. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, we love you, we adore you, we thank you. We thank you for giving us this information. And we may not want to hear it, Father, because it means that we have to take responsibility for doing things that we don't like to do. But you give us the ability to do it, and you tell us that's what glorifies you. And that's what takes faith. And in that, we will be built up in both faith and in glory. Glory, your glory, reveling in your glory, being glorified with Jesus Christ together with him. And we thank you for this. Thank you for being so faithful. And we know that you will never leave us or forsake us. And whatever situation we're in, that it's what's best for us. If we are doing it for your name's sake. Because there will be those trials and tribulations that we bring on to ourselves that are only addressed through repentance. May we also do that as convicted by the Holy Spirit. But Father, may our entire lives be a glory to you in all of this. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.